Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening on the BBS network. Tonight it's February 15th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I'm Nicole Whitney, and you're now tuned into News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. You're going to hear special excerpts tonight from Ayahuasca Highlights. Recently, we visited last night on the News for the Soul network, newsforthesoul.com. We talked to someone from Heart of the Initiate, Peter Richardson, and originally we had talked to Stuart Wild and Ralph Miller of Heart of the Initiate about ayahuasca several years back. And we delved in deeper last night, talked about it some more, and over the years we've had this discussion come up on News for the Soul a lot. Big topic in the consciousness crowd and these seekers out there. So tonight, special highlights of our discussions on ayahuasca. If you miss any of the show, by the way, all our shows are all free all the time. Literally all of them, years of them. Newsforthesoul.com. See you there. In the meantime, enjoy the show. Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
That unresolved fear in my father had come down to this little boy who also carried those fears with him. So we're the product of many generations of insecurities and so on.
So you actually, what I hear you saying is you actually process through on an emotional issue and...
I'm finished with that particular issue. Yeah, and I went through a myriad of experiences. I mean, in the course of 4 hours, 20, 30, 40 things may come up from your life. You know?
So it was like therapy in a cup.
It's therapy. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty interesting.
It's therapy in a cup.
So what I was trying to understand, though, I mean, it was specific things, about real issues in your life. It wasn't like this abstract acid trip.
Oh, no. I mean, for example, I have a friend who injured her hip dancing. And in the ayahuasca journey, these beings came and literally repaired her hip.
Physically?
Physically. Like, she never had the hip problem ever again.
Now, Peter Richardson, when did you start working with Ralph Miller at Heart of the Initiate?
Well, I met Ralph about 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago. He and I became friends immediately, and we're both interested in, I don't know, at the time it really wasn't even close to what it is now as a concept and an experience. It was just an idea that Ralph had. And at that time, it had nothing to do with the ayahuasca medicine. We didn't even know about it at that time. It was an idea around if a person was in a place in themselves where they were being honest and real with themselves and with the people around them, that would create true heart connection, and that this is what people actually are looking for in their lives right now, and anything else is sort of... a band-aid over an emptiness. And he dubbed the term or the name Heart of the Initiate from that, because it's an initiation of the heart energy. And so I began working with him early on from the very beginning stages. And it was about a year afterwards that the ayahuasca medicine came in, and we saw such potential in it. I mean, it was... probably the most powerful experiences of our own lives and tool to work with to take a person, to take ourselves to that place, to that authentic place.
What was your first experience with ayahuasca? personally?
It was not necessarily what I expected. I didn't really have any expectations other than the fact that I knew it was going to be a very strong, very powerful experience, and that's what it was. I was completely blown away by how intensely real this is. You know, having read many books, having listened to, you know, a lot of ideas from other people, other authors, attended workshops and, you know, meditated and all these different things I had tried along the way myself. You know, after you drink a cup of the ayahuasca, you've got about 45 minutes to wonder what it's going to be like, and then you know what it's going to be like because the experience begins. And it was more real than this reality. That's what was the most shocking part of it, is that it was so real because you're so sensitive in this place that you begin to perceive beyond the physical dimensions.
It's so interesting. I mean, I've had very minimal exposure to what you're speaking of, having just done it once in Peru, and it was really like a warm-up exercise, I think, for the real event. It was funny because just before the 45-minute period, I asked for more, thinking it wasn't working, and ended up having about 7 cups, but that's another story. But I noticed that all the perceptions, like I could hear everyone's thoughts as though they were speaking them out loud all at the same time in the room.
Well, this happens. You enter into a sensitive conscious than your normal waking everyday conscious. It's like a super consciousness that opens up, and you can hear, you know, the dogs barking 2 miles away, and you know, the sounds of the bugs sort of moving around, because we're always doing this in a very natural environment, so the ambiance of the sounds is very important to the journey and the experience. And it's very personal and very individualized, and what one person would experience, another person might have a completely different experience. But, you know, for everyone, it's a sensitivity, it's an increase in perception.
Yeah, which is surprising, because I think the sort of maybe misconception is that it's like a hallucinogenic drug where you're, you know, being taken away from reality rather than having some sort of sense enhanced or seemingly so.
Well, I think that everybody's day-to-day experience is sort of removed from reality. We're, for the most part, either in the past or in the future, and not actually present in our lives. And this is the exact opposite. This takes you completely present. You cannot ignore the experience while it's going on. It takes you straight into the moment, the now moment, and you become acutely aware of your life. And so much so that the plant begins to take you on a tour of who you are in your subconscious and in your interior. And you know, we began to see a journey and a process unfold when we began doing the workshops early on. We started to see this, it's like an awakening that occurs over the week, and by the end of the week, you are more intimately in touch with your life than you were before you began or you started.
It's so amazing to see people go through these transformations, and I'm glad that you're bringing that up, because we want to give the website out as we're talking, heartoftheinitiate.com. No matter when you're listening to this in the archives, I know that there's dates coming up for the next gatherings. But also, I don't want to get too much into the background and the technical aspects of it, but the nutshell version, those listening, you can listen to the earlier interview with Stuart Wild and Ralph Miller, and they get more extensively into, you know, what the DMT is and how this actually is working and the history of it. But let's have the nutshell version of what ayahuasca is doing.
Yeah, there is more information in the library and our website about that if people are interested to read about the sort of biochemistry and mechanics of it. But in essence, it's a tea. It's a tradition and a tea made from 2 plants from the Amazon in South America. It is by far their most sacred medicine. It's considered a sacred medicine and it's prepared from these two plants. Both plants have to be brewed together in order for it to work. It doesn't work with one or just the other. And in a sacred setting that's ancient, that this is thousands of years old, is drank, you know, together as a family. In the traditional sense, the whole tribe would come together and they would drink the medicine for healing and for spiritual awakening purposes. And we do the same thing. And so you drink this tea and you have an experience with it, a shamanic journey with it.
In the first conversation we had with Stuart Wilde and Ralph Miller in 2002, I guess, on News for the Soul, they talked a lot about the healing aspects and the healing processes that allegedly have taken place during ayahuasca ceremonies. Has that been your experience as well?
It's been my experience with my own healing and journey with the plant, and then all the people that we've worked with and helped to have access to the plant and to this experience. And the interesting thing is, you know, most people would say, well, I'm not sick, you know, because they're in a relatively decent state of health. And our idea of not being sick is completely different than the shamanic idea, which is humanity is in a state of sickness right now, and that it's a spiritual sickness or separation from the natural world. And then we are all in this state, and it's simply because we don't realize it. We've become so far detached that don't even have an awareness. But the tea is a medicine, and the way that they make this medicine, which takes, you know, 10 days, if you can think about preparing plants and cooking them down for 10 days while they sing prayers with a lot of love into it, turns it into a medicine. And it's an energetic medicine as well as a physical medicine. When you drink it into your body, not only are you drinking the plant and taking that essence of the plant into your essence or your own soul to form this communication link, but it has cleansing properties. It detoxes the physical body. It cleans out the whole digestive system. It can be a purgative. It can cause you to purge out these sort of physical toxins. And also emotionally, you know, we all experience the emotional weight of our lives that we've collected over into our adult years. And the plant begins to show you these aspects of yourself that are just, you know, old patterns, old baggage. And it shows you so you can let it go, and it tosses it out, and your energy increases because you're lighter. You've released this heaviness. And then into sort of spiritual levels simultaneously, which you can't fully really understand from this reference point, there's aspects of us that extend so far beyond what our waking consciousness could even grasp onto as a, you know, as an idea or a concept.
That would be one of the most life-changing, dramatic experiences you've had personally with ayahuasca.
The most dramatic experience has been the most subtle for me. I've had moments of, you know, intense visions and experiences in the visionary realm, which are very real. I mean, this is, again, not a meditative practice, or, you know, maybe you saw something. This is your consciousness merging into a multidimensional consciousness that already exists inside of you, and this is just a tool to tap into that. But for me, the most incredible gift from this plant was in the subtle. It was in, you know, after I had those early experiences, it began to take me and take us into sort of a greater sense of presence in your own life. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are trying to escape their lives. And, you know, because it's difficult. This is a difficult journey, you know, having a human experience, physical experience. But the plant takes you back to that place because ultimately that's what we came here for. And it's, you know, it's not about going off somewhere or, you know, I don't think anyway, disappearing, but to just be present in your life. And so, you know, it's like the Taoists say, before, you know, before enlightenment, chup would carry water, and then after chup would carry water. And not that ayahuasca takes you straight to enlightenment, or I don't even know what that concept would even actually mean, because it's just an idea. But it takes you back to the simplicity of your life, where you go back to your life with just a greater awareness of who you are, and you can find a happiness because you're back in touch with that person again. And you still have to go, you know, go to work on Monday, and you still have to carry on, but not with all the, you know, with all the feelings of, I don't know, separation from yourself, because that's really what hurts people. That's what I think people are just looking for.
So, relative to your earlier comment, then, would you say that you go back to your life being less removed from actual reality?
Yeah, it puts you back in touch with actual reality. Because most people aren't living in actual reality. I don't think it's sort of some idea of what their reality could be if they did all these things to, at some point in the future, get there, rather than this is your life right now going on. Totally live your life as it is and finding some contentment in that place.
Now, you've got a lot of stuff listed on your website now. Awesome how it's grown over the years. Heartoftheinitiate.com. But specific to the gatherings, the workshops that you're having in Brazil with the ayahuasca, who's going to these things?
People from all over the world. I mean, this is the most incredible sort of social movement that we could have ever even dreamed would be possible in the context of this work. We've seen people from 47 different countries. They almost feel like delegates from different countries. Oh, we got, you know, one from Lithuania. You know, we haven't had someone from Lithuania yet, or which was, you know, just happened on this last trip. And, you know, people from all walks of life, from all over the world, from all different backgrounds. These are ordinary people. These are not, you know, well, I guess everyone is an ordinary person, but, you know, some people think that they're more than ordinary, you know. But this is just people coming out of their lives, seeking more, seeking to know more of who they are and seeking to know more of sort of the collective experience and what we're all feeling on this planet right now with these huge changes going on. And you know, watching the events of the global events play out. And so you know, in any given workshop, it's English is the main spoken language, but you know, there might be 10 or 15 different languages present at any given workshop.
Yeah.
And this is open space for everyone. There is room for everyone in this. And the plant speaks to you in whatever capacity you have to understand, in whatever your, you know, ideology is or religion or whatever your context is, it speaks to you in that place.
How do you deal with that logistically if you've got like 10 different, I mean, from the organizing of an event perspective? That seems incredible.
Well, like you said, you got to love to do it, and we love to do it. We love to watch the unfolding of it. We love to watch people come in and expand and go through. I mean, this is challenging. This is not like, you know, you're sort of going down to have necessarily, you know, a week on the beach, even though we are on the beach and we are, you know, in this beautiful natural environment. This is work.
Let's address that, because that's probably the biggest issue that comes up for people once they realize what it really is. I mean, it's not sipping Mai Tais on the ocean front there. We're talking something that well, I don't want to say is unpleasant, but well, it's work, I guess, is the way you said it, is probably the best. So why is it, do you think, such a challenge?
I think the only way to really expand is to be forced into a place. Either you force yourself into the place, and if you can do that, you know, good on you, because that'll save a whole heap of, confrontation with life. But if you can put yourself into a place where you're slightly uncomfortable, where you feel slightly unsafe, where you feel challenged, where you feel, a little bit out of your element, then that's an expansion process. It sort of puts you just outside of your comfort zone, and then your comfort zone moves in an outward force, and it expands. So having an experience with the ayahuasca is, not necessarily comfortable. Sometimes it can be very uncomfortable, because it's confronting you with you, and, you know, sometimes there's aspects of yourself that you don't want to look at, or you don't want to acknowledge or own, but you have to, because it shows you. But the thing is, I think people want this, because, you know, we're all kind of padded from our lives. We've got these sort of the mute button on, and we try to block everything out that's not pleasant or feels unsafe, and we're all trying to create, you know, a controlled, safe world around us when the natural world is anything but. It's very sort of chaotic, like the feminine. And the ayahuasca is this incredible feminine presence during your journey, and it works your butt off, but you learn so much in one night with this plant. You know, you forget about years of reading the books. One night in this plant will show you what those books are trying to explain.
So it offers a direct experience.
Yep. Now, the only way it can be known is through this experiential process. Everything else is an idea or us talking about it, but this is an experiential process, and it's the only way to really know who we really are.
Now, how do you help people get overcome the fear of, you know, the unpleasantries that they may have to, the discomfort portion of what they may have to go through for this experience?
You just share with them your own, you know, your own story around it. And, you know, I think it's okay to let people know that we are all in the same boat. In the context of the workshops, we are, as the staff and the organizers, are there working with everyone else. We are working with the ayahuasca during the week. And of course, the shaman who we work with and his family, they're leading and guiding every aspect of the ceremony itself. But we're all there together. We're all human. And, you know, maybe some people have seen a little bit more or have a little bit more experience. So, you know, they get to run the workshop and everyone else gets to come into the workshop. But we're all learning and we're all trying to figure this out together. And I think that just, you know, that sort of, for me, that feels safe. You know, it feels safe all the way around.
Let's talk about that. As far as, you know, like I said, I've had a lot of emails over the years. Where can I buy it? They want to just go to the corner store, look up their own ayahuasca, and go off on their own journey, which personally I would never do in a million years. I'd want to be in reverent kind of ceremonial, safe settings with others. Personally, that's how I would see it. But how do you, you know, what do you say about that?
I can't recommend it. Not only can I not recommend it, but I really would urge people to really think a second time about that. This is not something to try out at home. This is, I'll put it in the context of us working with it over the last 6 years. We've only ever worked with it with you know, in the guidance of a shaman or someone who has had tremendous experience with the ayahuasca. The thing is it makes you feel extremely, it doesn't make you feel extremely vulnerable. You become extremely vulnerable in this environment because it's energetic, it's physical, the modified state of awareness. And the shaman's presence is actually holding the space, the energetic space around the ceremony. This is probably the most important aspect of working with the plant, is the space around the plant, because the plant amplifies energy. And whatever energy you're in, it's going to amplify that. Whatever state you're in, it's going to amplify that. And if you're in an environment that's very supported, very loving, very open, you know, beautiful, natural, and you know, it just has to be done in a good way. It could potentially, you know, take you to some part of yourself that you're not prepared to see or deal with without this structure around it, and the structure is vital.
Now, walk me through what one of these events looks like, coming out to Brazil to be with Heart of the Initiate people. What happens in the event?
During the workshops?
Mm-hmm.
The workshops have grown over the years. It was our sort of realization that this could help so many people, but it's, for the most part, so inaccessible or even, you know, really out of the context that people would even approach something like this. You know, most wouldn't be thinking about going down to the Amazon or Brazil. In fact, we're not in the Amazon, we're on the coast of Brazil. But the thought of even going down to that physical location, you know, most people probably wouldn't consider it. It's out of their idea of what they would or wouldn't do. So what we've created over the years is a way for people to approach this that is well organized, that is, like I said, comfortable, and there's other aspects of the workshop that enhance this process. And so we've seen that there's a physical detoxification that occurs. So we started looking at the diet and the foods that we eat during the week, and we made a lot of modifications around that. And we felt that it would be important to take certain foods that are real high, they're considered superfoods, like acai, and which is high in phytonutrients and has more antioxidants than blueberries, and blueberries are supposed to be the thing. And so we eat that twice a day during the week in the workshops. Papaya and other fruits that are high in enzymes. The water from coconuts, this is the most hydrating substance that you can put into your body. And, you know, as Westerners, we're for the most part perpetually dehydrated most of the day. And so we drink this, you know, coconut water all day long, and you feel the energy come back into your body just from these foods that we eat. And then you're working with the ayahuasca medicine that's also clearing you out physically and emotionally and so forth. We've got body work that is included in the workshop. This gets everyone into a physically receptive mode, which is also important for the journey. And we talk, like the way that we're talking right now is very dynamic and unrehearsed. And it's the same way during the workshops, because it's got to be spontaneous and you know, very interesting in the energy of what's actually going on with the group right at that moment. So when we speak at the workshops, it's always in the now and, you know, information to help guide the experience and sort of share our own ideas and thoughts about what all this is actually about.
And the event is like a week long, right?
It is. It's a week long. There are different options. Sometimes people will come for 2 weeks or two or more workshops, and that is, definitely... When we go down, we'll do, say, 2 or 3, sometimes 4 weeks in a row. And, you know, people will come for 1 week or 2 weeks or more, depending on, you know, what's important to them and how deep they want to go into the experience and the journey. But a lot happens in 1 week. And we work with the ayahuasca 3 times. So there's three opportunities, three experiences. And from zero to after the first one is like a quantum leap. And all your questions and everything that you have in your mind changes after that first journey. And then there's two experiences afterward to continue to go deeper and then deeper again with the plant.
What's an example of, say, one or two examples of real dramatic processes or results that someone's had coming down and having this experience?
Well, we've had some people with physical conditions come. I mean, the physical conditions are always the one that stands out the most because, you know, they tend to be dramatic. And we've had several cases where people with, you know, diagnosed conditions are, you know, working with the ayahuasca in the workshop. You sort of have to be careful here because you can't build up expectations. It's very important to hold your expectations coming into this journey. But at the same time, there is a healing reality around the plant. And one that comes to mind was a woman who had just, you know, come out of, I think, a long time of a dependency on sort of abusing narcotic substances, and her body was in a very physically difficult position. She could hardly move around, she couldn't hardly move her neck and her back, and she was in constant chronic pain. Now, she drank the ayahuasca three times during the week. She did not have visions, she did not have sort of all these, you know, huge experiences that she was listening to the other people talk about, because we share during the week our experiences or what we want to share with each other. And keep in mind there's a whole group dynamic that's going on as well as the individual dynamic. But she went into high heat and intense sort of sound, tone, vibrations that were coming kind of from the inside out for 6 hours on each of these three nights. And by the end of the week, she was sharing with us that she, you know, she was able to, she was out on the beach doing cartwheels and able to, you know, have full motion of her body again in, you know, the span of 1 week.
So it is quite different for each individual then.
It is. It always is. People have different needs, and the plant takes you to what you need. And it's not always what you think you need. It's tricky because we've got a lot of ideas of what we think we want, and then actually if you get that, it turns out that wasn't what you wanted. But the plant knows what you need, and it always takes you to that place.
So what do you think it is that connects this process, this plant, to source or spirit or higher self or whatever you call it?
Well, I think the plant is more of a tool to connect you to what you already have. I mean, this is not taking you to some external experience or taking you to something that doesn't already exist inside of each person. How could it? I mean, it's a, you know, it's a tea that you drink, but it has a psychoactive in it. There's actually several different psychoactives, but the DMT is naturally occurring in the human body, and in fact most animals and plants have some quantity of DMT in it. But so there's actually a biochemical communication that's happening between human consciousness and the consciousness of nature and the natural world. And through the structures in our own, you know, in our own brain, and particularly in the pineal gland, which is considered the third eye or the perception into the spiritual world. And so you're having a direct communication with nature, and we are part of nature as much as we've forgotten that. And it's one part of nature simply building a bridge back to communicate with another part of itself that sort of got lost.
Well, that's such an excellent answer. heartoftheinitiate.com. If you're listening live or close there too on the Archive on News for the Soul, upcoming dates are February 27th through March 6th, 2007, or March 9th through 16th, or March 19th through 26th. Or hey, two or three of those weeks, apparently. There's seats in all of them as we speak now. So heartoftheinitiate.com is where to go to find this most incredible gift for your heart and soul, or someone that you know who is absolutely ready for this. And thank you so much, Peter Richardson, for being here today.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show. It's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Attention, indigos, healers, cultural creatives, and agents of social change. Are you ready to act upon your inner wisdom and step forward into your life purpose? With 16 years of hands-on real-world results, empowerment specialist Robert Moonsong is available to help as a visionary guide to authentic spiritual growth and awakening. To subscribe for free or find out about upcoming teleclasses, visit robertmoonsong.com now. That's robertmoonsong.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satyan Rasha of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
That unresolved fear in my father had come down to this little boy, who also carried those fears with him. So we're the product of many generations of insecurities and so on.
So you actually, what I hear you say is you actually process through on an emotional issue and
and finished with that particular issue.
God.
Yeah, and I went through a myriad of experiences. I mean, in the course of 4 hours, 20, 30, 40 things may come up from your life. You know?
So it was like therapy in a cup?
It's therapy. Yeah.
All right, that's pretty interesting.
It's therapy in a cup.
So what I was trying to understand, though, I mean, it was specific things, about real issues in your life. It wasn't like this abstract acid trip.
Oh, no. I mean, for example, I have a friend who injured her hip dancing. And in the ayahuasca journey, these beings came and literally repaired her hip.
Physically?
Physically. Like, she never had the hip problem ever again.
If you consider that there is a possibility that the brain of humans is, it's common knowledge that humans use a very small percentage of their brain.
Some of us smaller than others.
Video from the uplifting to the unexplained, and our next guest, you've heard of him undoubtedly, Conversations with God, author and visionary behind the Humanities Team, Neil Donald Walsh, is here with us talking about the Humanities Team. Let's bring him on. Welcome back to News for the Soul, Neil Donald Walsh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. It's left open. So you're right. You're profoundly correct. And while this is not an appropriate time to be deeply critical of what's happening down there in the Gulf area, it is an opportunity for us to receive the message that this tragedy has brought to humanity. Life, you know, is a process that brings life messages about life itself. Life informs life about life through the process of life itself.
Hello, and we are delighted to be here in the land of much light. For indeed, we feel most delightful to be with those who are able to hold, see, be, and offer light to many. We welcome and say hello to you.
Hello.
Yay.
We had a question from Hank in Texas. He wants to know if we can really, truly, honest to goodness, levitate.
Yeah.
How do we levitate?
By realizing that the air that you perceive is an illusion. It's not air. It can be just as much earth as anything else. In other words, create it for what it is. See it for the solid that you perceive it to be. Change your perception of it. And then simply move up. 19 individuals throughout the planet that are actually, at this moment, levitating.
That means that we can do anything.
Yeah. You've walked on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't you walk on air? What's to stop you?
See, it's the mind that's stopping us.
Exactly. Your mind. Start taking over your mind. Start commanding your mind. And you'll find that your existence will change.
So you're saying we can walk on water?
Yes.
How would you summarize the Sark philosophy?
The Sark philosophy is... That's a great question. It's about being who you actually are instead of who you idealize that you would be, or it's about being creatively alive and all that that means, and investigating your dark places, and as I always remind people, you can use a flashlight. And being splendidly imperfect and giving yourself permission to live what I call a juicy life, a succulent wild life.
And everyone gets a unique name, and I feel into that. I use my intuition to draw upon a name which suits that person.
Most people in that room later had said, it was like you were seeing into them. So how did you perfect that skill?
boy. When you do a lot of work on yourself, and I've been involved in studying with great teachers and masters since I've been a kid, when you learn more about every which way your own mind and ego and your own shells work, and then when you've helped facilitate people, which I've done now for over 20 years, then just your intuition with people develops. And you've seen me work, Nicole. I really love people, and I think you can learn all the techniques in the world, but unless you love someone, you're not really going to get to the truth of them.
It was Terrence McKenna who said, to have a great experience with ayahuasca, you have to take a big dose. And I really wanted to have that ultimate death God experience. And, you know, again, he didn't speak English, but he did say, he turned to the interpreter and said, una boca grande. Which I knew what he was saying. Yeah, the big glass. He's chanting, he's blessing the ayahuasca, we're putting our intention into it, and more intense. I'm kneeling in front of this, you know, roughly carved altar, and I see the boca grande, you know. I mean, it is 3 to 4 times the size of what he's given everyone else. I was sweating. I mean, my heart was beating. I was thinking, okay, you know, do I really want to do this? Did you get sick when you took it?
Well, it's interesting. That's what I was saying. It was all about letting go. And when I didn't know I was going to drink until the shaman handed me the cup, and I actually sipped.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to not do something out of fear, and I had so much apprehension coming up. The same thing for me. It has to be really reverent and safe and, you know, ceremonial, and it's not, you know. And I couldn't discern if it was the fear voice or not. So once I did sip, I decided, okay, that's it. Nothing's coming out of any orifice whatsoever. So I walked down.
And he said something about he'd been getting sick, you know, every time he'd take it. I mean, and a lot of people do, and the shaman will tell you that's how you purge. You know, that's how you're purging those negative energies out of your body. And so, you know, some people purge out of, you know, without getting too, well, here we go, purge out of both ends simultaneously. I mean, it's not a pretty sight. I had this real thing. I had never once gotten sick. Anytime I'd taken ayahuasca, I just had not gotten sick. And I made that comment to him in the afternoon, and the moment I said it, I thought, you know what? I should have not said this. You know, because I was almost like wearing it like a badge of courage, which that had to go to. So here I am. I drink this big glass, and you know, I knew that within about 45 minutes, it takes a little while to come on, within 45 minutes, under an hour, I'd be jettisoned into this geometric dome. Here I am in this fractal dome, and all of a sudden, my stomach is turning knots. I mean, I'm flashing back and forth between out-of-body, in-body, my stomach's turning knots, and I'm thinking, no, I'm going to control this, just breathe, my body's shaking, I'm trying to ground myself on the ground. I've got my hands, you know, on the jungle floor, laying on this little rice mat, and I am getting sick. This voice said to me, you know what, James, get over yourself and let it go, you know. And I was like, I don't want to get sick. I don't get sick, you know. I don't get sick, you know. I'm James Ray. And you know, get over yourself. You get sick and let it go. I'm like, okay. So I open my eyes, and I have stuck myself way back in the corner in the maloka so I could kind of be in my own energy space. And I tried to sit up. I fell down. I tried to sit up. I fell. I had no motor skills. And I'm like, gosh, you know, not only am I going to have to get sick, but I'm going to have to get carried out into the jungle. You know, I'm going to have to call for help. And you know, I don't want to do that. It was such crap. It really was. And finally, I was just like, you know what? Just get over it and do whatever you need to do and humble yourself and get your butt out there and get sick if that's what you need to do. And if you need to get carried, get carried. The moment I released that, I was able to sit up. I couldn't stand up, but I had to crawl. So I'm crawling on my hands and knees, And it felt like a block. I mean, I don't know how long it was, but it was far. And I'm crawling on my hands and knees trying to hold myself together. I finally get out onto the jungle floor, and it just starts. I mean, not only do I get sick, but I am like heaving, and it's loud, and it's, I mean, it's and it felt so damn good. I can't even tell you. And you know, the shaman tell you that if you really, really get this big release, that a serpent will come out of you. Well, I swear to you, this black projectile came out of me, and it was a snake, and it went on the jungle floor, and it slithered away, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was so black and so solid and so alive. And when I got done, I'm all humble. And I'm kneeling on the jungle floor, and I look up, I can see the stars, and I just felt so good. I'm like, you know, this was the coolest thing, just getting over myself and letting it go. And I needed to. I really did.
My job fell apart, my income fell apart, my sense of self fell apart when, as I mentioned earlier, I was the subject of fantastic, unprecedented, I have to say, and I'm not exaggerating, ridicule in this country of one person in the early 90s. And everything that was my sense of me, that was my sense of the security of this is what I am and this is my security, financial, in terms of employment, in terms of the way the public perceived me, not with respect as they did before, but as a madman, all that fell apart. But all that structure of what I thought I was collapsed. And only when it collapsed could the other level of me come forward and start to take me in a different direction. Because if you really wanted to go for it, then it will happen. But then comes the challenge. When things get difficult, don't walk away. Keep with it. Because what's happening, although it's not very pleasant, is that the you that has held you in, or the perception of you which has held you in the prison cell, in servitude, is breaking down. Let it go. Let it break down. Because when it's gone, something is going to emerge through the wreckage that you're going to like.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of a Coleman. This is News for the Soul.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.